You can begin turning in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 16:29. We're eventually going to get there this morning. Let us begin our service with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, we just thank you again for the privilege that we have to be in your house this morning. We thank you, Father, for your amazing grace, the outpouring of your love, for your care and your concern for people the world over. Lord, we ask you to bless us today with an ear that would hear, with a mind that would understand, with a heart that would receive. And that, Lord, that you would begin to change us, that you would begin to mold us, that you would begin to give us a heart to do thy blessed will both now and forever, that our lives might be used to give you the glory. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, family and friends, I want to share with you this morning something you already know. Our nation is in trouble. But what you may not know, and contrary to what many Christians believe is the truth, God is not holding Satan, the demons, unbelievers, past and present administrations, Congress, Republicans, Democrats, moderates, progressives, liberals, conservatives, the deep state, fake news, social media, or Hollywood responsible. No, God is holding his people responsible. After all, when we look at our world, darkness is doing exactly what darkness should do. And have we forgotten that we are to be the light of the world? And in far too many places, instead of becoming light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, instead of being the light of Christ in dispelling the darkness that is around us, far too often, and more than we'd care to admit, we've forgotten whose kingdom we are to be building. We've forgotten whose word is to have the final say. And so instead of ruling our worlds under God and building his kingdom and advancing his kingdom to bring him glory, many Christians are allowing their worlds to rule them while they advance their kingdoms and bring Satan glory in the earth. And I want you to know something this morning. Numbers are not our problem, as the school board meeting proved. Thus, the question can be asked today, why aren't we transforming our culture? Worse yet, why is our culture seeking to transform us? Perhaps it's because too many Christians want nothing more than a comfortable Christianity. Perhaps it's because we've bought the lie of tolerance at all cost. Perhaps too many pastors in too many places have preached a prosperity theology that leaves people trapped in their sins, filled with unholy living, and buying Satan's lie of nothing more than cheap grace. Perhaps it's because we as a nation have rejected God's divine order for family and church. Perhaps it's because too many mission statements in too many churches don't reflect the primary mission of the church, and the ones who do are not being executed. Perhaps it's because statistics prove that 95% of all Christians have never shared the gospel. Perhaps it's because of the widespread acceptance of gay marriage and homosexual ordination that have plagued the church, all of which has not only broken the moral and spiritual back of our once proud nation, but more importantly, has broken and grieved the heart of Almighty God. Family and friends, there are far too many Christians that are more concerned today with being politically correct than biblically correct. So instead of the church being a hospital that helps sick sinners get well instead of making disciples that go and make more disciples and fulfill the Great Commission. Far too many churches in this nation of ours and around the world today are behaving more like hospice centers, giving people what they want to keep them comfortable while they die. And I will say it again. The problems facing our nation today are not social. They are not moral. They are not political. They are not geopolitical. They are not economic. They are not racial. They're not cultural. The problems facing our nation today are spiritual. Satan wants to keep our minds and our hearts focused on all of the things that we have just mentioned, but not the real issue. He's trying to blind us to the fact that the real issue in this nation is a spiritual issue, and it's not only in this nation, it is all around the world. We are facing a spiritual battle in our lives, and we must come to realize and understand God's truth that spiritual battles can only be fought and won by spiritual people using spiritual weapons. And while much of the church is waiting to see what God is going to do, it may surprise you that God is going to, he's waiting and looking to see what we're going to do before he is going to bring the needed revival and the needed healing that you and I need in this nation. You see, his requirements have not changed. And his requirements to make this our present-day reality have not changed, because the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God has said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jews were God's covenant people. In the New Testament age of grace, God's covenant people are the body of true believers called the church. All of those who have repented of their sin and placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their sin bearer, Savior, and Redeemer. Are you one? Have you been born again? Do you understand what the gospel is? I'm going to spell that out today as a way of reminding us what the gospel stands for. G. It stands for God, who created each one of us for the sole purpose of having a relationship with us. O lets us know that our sin separates us from holy God, because God is holy. He cannot dwell with we who are unholy until we deal sufficiently with our sin. S means sin cannot be removed by good deeds alone. Family and friends, lost and saved, we cannot get to heaven and have our sins forgiven by our good works. If that were true, Jesus Christ would have never had to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. You see, P stands for pain. Someone had to pay the price for our sins. And so Jesus Christ became our sin bearer when he died on the cross for our sins. E means everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ through repentance of sin and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins will inherit eternal life. L stands for life eternal, forever with Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the meaning of the gospel. Have you received the gospel? And if you have, do you know why we're here? Listen, this is so important for you and I, because we can waste a lot of time. I don't know about your life, but I do know in my life. I look back at my life and I can see where I wasted some time. And I wish I could get time back, but you know as well as I do, the one thing we can't get back is time. And so I think about these things, and if a person doesn't know why they're here, we're going to waste a lot of time. Listen to me. It's wonderful to obtain an education. It's wonderful to have an exciting career. It's wonderful to build your dream house. It's wonderful to go on vacation. It's wonderful to volunteer for a worthy cause. It's wonderful to be part of a local church or fill in the blank for you. But let me tell you, you will have wasted your time, your lives, if we never fulfill the primary reason for which we are here, for which we were created. And the primary reason for which we were created is to give God the glory. I hope you have your Bibles open, 1 Chronicles 16:29. If you'd please rise as we honor our King with the reading of his word, just this one verse. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Could we read that together this morning? Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever stopped to consider the question, how do we give God the glory? Let me give you a hint. It goes beyond praising and worshiping him. We give God the glory by fulfilling his eternal plan in the earth. And God has given us a clue on what that plan was when he taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever stopped long enough to consider what Jesus meant when he said, Thy kingdom come? Whatever this kingdom is, Jesus tells us it is the Father's kingdom. It is not our kingdom that needs to come to the earth. Family and friends, do you realize many Christians want to bring God to glory? I'd venture that every single one of us here, those listening online, we all want to bring God to glory. But then why do we spend the majority of our time and our lives building our kingdoms instead of his? How can we hallow his name when we spend the majority of our time elevating our names and our kingdoms above his? And then there's this word kingdom. A whole book could be written on it, and it was. That book is called the Holy Bible. Are you aware that what ties the Old Testament to the New Testament is the theme of the kingdom of God? Think of the kingdom of God as territory that's owned by God. Territory that's been delegated to the people of God. To demonstrate the comprehensive rule of God in every area of life under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the King of this kingdom. In the King's book that you're holding in your hands, for how his kingdom and its subjects, that's us, are to operate, is the Holy Bible, the King's Word. Let me ask you a question. How are we going to bring God glory with our lives if we are going to operate by the rules of our own kingdom? In God's kingdom, there is only one king. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. In God's kingdom, there is only one set of rules. His. Not mine, not yours, his. The sooner we realize that none of the roads leads back to us, the sooner we can begin bringing God glory with our lives. Family and friends, Satan has done a wonderful job of deceiving many Christians into believing that we can serve two masters, two kingdoms, two kingdom manuals, and somehow bring God the glory. It can't be done. God has said in his rule book, in his kingdom book, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Simply put, God cannot receive glory from well-meaning people who have no interest in operating by the rules of the kingdom. Brings us to the next phrase. Thy will be done. Do you realize, dear Christian, that our King's book outlines the totality of God's will for our lives? But we can't operate it if we don't know it or operate contrary to it. We can't execute it. Do you realize that if we don't execute his will in our lives will never be able to bring him any glory whatsoever? Then we come to as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. What is God saying here? God is just simply stating very plainly that he is looking for you and I, men and women, under the blood of Jesus Christ, to model his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And while God could do it all by himself, he chose us to do it through us. Do you want to know why? Matter of fact, let me ask the question. Do you know why? Because when God created man on the sixth day, way back there in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, he created man to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. In essence, what God was saying is, I'm going to transform and I'm going to let man rule. But standing against all of that, standing against all of that was an angel who had been cast out of heaven. Listen to how the Bible describes his fall. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to the hell, to the sides of the pit. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, I don't know what you think, but are you aware that most Christians today believe that Satan is in hell? And I want to tell you that's not true. What is true is that hell was prepared for Satan and his angels, his demons, as their ultimate sentence. But right now, Satan is upon this earth along with all of his fallen angels. Are you aware that Satan was on this earth when Adam and Eve first appeared in the garden and he inhabited the serpent and he began to converse with Eve? The reason the earth was exactly what the Bible says it was in Genesis 1 and 2, when the Bible says, without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, is because Satan and his demons were already here. You see, what we want to understand is that Satan was already large and in charge before man ever arrived, before God created man a little lower than the angels. That's what the Bible teaches. And remember God's word. God says he created man to have dominion over the works of God's hands. and to put everything, including Satan and his demons, under man's feet, Psalm 8, 5, and 6. Well, friends, we can understand then. Helps us explain why Satan is moved in for the kill. How would you like it if someone moved into your house, began to sleep in your bed and eat your food? But remember now, God created man a little lower than the angels. Man, who when submitted to God would crush the power of Satan and his demons, who were created above man but who were unsubmitted to God. That's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? So what happened? What happened is that Adam and Eve sinned. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they transferred man's rulership back over to Satan. I tried to picture this this week. I think this is like a big chess game, so to speak. You have move, and then you have a counter move, then another move, then a counter move, and the move. You see, in the beginning it was God. That's what the Bible says, Genesis 1 and 1. And he cast Satan and his demons out of heaven. And then God created man a little lower than the angels. And then Satan's move. Satan got Adam and Eve to fall when they ate from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And finally, after watching his people go through an endless cycle of disobedience and repentance, do you realize when Jesus Christ cried from the cross, it is finished. It was final move. It was checkmate. Satan never saw it coming. And he is in his minions. They have been defeated forever. When God the Father sent his only begotten Son to be our sin bearer, God the Father made a way for sinful man to be reconciled back unto himself. And he made a way for man who is submitted to Jesus Christ to crush the power of Satan in the earth through the advancement of God's kingdom. How many of you would like to crush the power of Satan on this planet today in the power of Jesus' name? Before Jesus comes back, before he fully reclaims the earth and casts Satan into hell forever, do you realize he wants to use us to lay claim and win souls for the kingdom of heaven? I hope this helps us understand why Paul wrote so passionately to the Ephesian believers and to us today when he penned these words, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Jesus taught us in Matthew 4, 8, and 9 that this world, Satan is the ruler of this world right now. But God has given authority to you as a believer in Jesus Christ, to every believer in Jesus Christ. God has given us the authority to tread all over our enemy. Do you realize the reason we are in such a spiritual battle today? Maybe you're in one in your own life. Maybe if someone was to take the time to ask you, you might say, "All H-E double hockey sticks is broke loose in my life right now." But I'm certain we all can agree all H-E double hockey sticks is brought loose in our world today. Amen. And the reason you as a child of God and we as a church of God who are standing on the Word of God are facing such a spiritual battle today is because Satan is after us. You see, he's blinded the eyes of those who don't believe. That's the reason for the great chaos in our world today. There are people who cannot see the truth. Their eyes have been blinded. Their ears have been stopped. They can't even hear the truth. And Satan knows that true believers in the true church are a threat to him and his kingdom here on this earth. And the only thing standing in the way of having Satan have every person the world over follow him and worship him are those of us who are standing up for God, standing on God's word, believing in his truth, and proclaiming in this church and from this pulpit, thus saith the Lord. Thank God for people. Thank God for the men who preached here when I was on vacation. Thank God for the Sunday school teachers we have that teach the word of truth. Thank God for your heart for the word of truth. Thank God for the songs we hear when we sing that are the word of truth. Thank God for people who want to give God the glory. Amen? Thank God for people who want to stand up for what they believe in and defy the kingdom of darkness by not ceding territory to him. Thank God for a school board, Washington County and Russell County, that said no to Satan. Satan is absolutely powerless. That's the good news for us because Jesus Christ, when you're with him, you can't be defeated. Amen? Satan is absolutely powerless. If we rule our worlds, what are our worlds consist of? Well, let's think of some. Our relationship worlds, our financial worlds, our career worlds, our stewardship worlds, our emotional worlds, our sexual worlds. Satan is powerless against us if we will rule them under God's hand and under God's way, the Holy Bible. You see, even God knows it takes true disciples to bring him glory in this earth. And the amount of glory that God is going to receive from my life and from your life is going to be in direct proportion to the amount of his kingdom building we accomplish in this angelic conflict we are in the middle of. You better believe that this is a time of warfare. This is a time to stand up and stand on the word of God and tell Satan where he can go. One last question, then we're through. How do you become a kingdom builder so that your life brings God glory? That's a simple answer. By becoming intimately familiar with the King and his kingdom manual, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Jesus said, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we do it. Perhaps you're in this church this morning, or you're online this morning, and you've realized as the message has been preached, as the baptism took place, you're not saved. Well, the good news for you is you don't have to remain not saved. What a terrible label to be on somebody, not saved. The good news is that you can be saved today simply by praying a prayer. But I'm going to ask you to listen to the prayer first and not pray it. You just listen to it. You see, I'd rather you not pray the prayer than to pray something that you don't mean, you don't understand, or that you don't believe. So I'm going to pray this prayer twice this morning. You listen first for those of you who are online, those of you who are here. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and you begin praying. God moves when his people pray. Perhaps you've got a lost one in your family today. Perhaps you just pray for someone to be saved. You listen first. We'll pray it again. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I can't save myself, but you can, and you did, when you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, please forgive me for sinning against you. I turn from my life of sin by repenting of them, and I am turning to you now. Please accept my repentance and allow me to receive your free gift of salvation. By faith, I am asking you to become my Lord and my Savior, my heart is yours. Thank you for loving me and saving me. Now help me to follow you and live a life that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now I'm going to pray that prayer again. And if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're online or here in this church, you just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. But you can, and you did when you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me for sinning against you. I turn from my life of sin by repenting of them, and I am turning to you now. Please accept my repentance and allow me to receive your free gift of salvation. By faith, I am asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. My heart is yours. Thank you for loving me and saving me. Now help me to follow you and live a life that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made a decision online this morning, there's an email and a number on the screen. You email the church. You call us. We want to put a Bible into your hands. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you in your new walk with Christ. Family and friends, this is a holy moment. Today, God's Word has been sung in this church, the demonstration of God changing a life has been seen in this church. The greatest miracle that God could ever do has been demonstrated. A young lady gave her heart and her soul to Jesus Christ a year ago. Today is a very special day. It is her birthday. And on her birthday, the one thing that she wanted most of all was to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. She was buried to the old life. She's been raised to a new life. But more importantly, she is the Savior's. Forever. Hallelujah. What is God saying to you? It's so easy to be so busy, isn't it? What changes need to happen in your life? Who in your family is not yet saved? Who ought you be storming the altar for? Jesus said we're to ask, we're to seek, and friends, sometimes we just got to knock till the answer comes. It's a holy moment. What is God saying you need to do today? In just a moment, Jimmy's going to come and lead us in song. Tammy's going to play. As she plays and as we sing, would you respond? I know some folks like to use the excuse, well, I can't kneel anymore. Well, hallelujah. This front pew's wide open. You can still sit. Amen. We can still bow our heads. We can still pray. And while we're singing, you pray. You pray as you've never prayed before, that God would strengthen you for the battle that's ahead. You pray that God would help you to stand strong no matter what may come your way. You pray for God to use you as he's never used you before. You know, in this church, I got some folks that pray, oh, Lord, help him preach like he's never preached before. Well, I thought about that. I'm so thankful for that. But friend, we also got to pray like we've never prayed before. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to seek the face of God if we want revival and healing in our nation. It's a holy moment. I don't know what God may be saying to you today. But, oh, friend, I hope as we sing now,